I was visiting my mum this week and spent a bit of time tidying up things in the garage there. Stuff which my dad had accumulated and which I've been putting off sorting through just because there is so much junk there. Dad was never a great one for throwing anything away. And so there are boxes of screws, there are nuts and bolts, things which will probably be useful and are worth keeping. But there is also plenty of other stuff, which must at some time have had some significance, but which I have absolutely no idea about now. So they just sit there in the garage, not discarded, but not actually doing anything useful, and mostly, frankly, quite mystifying. And it did make me think how easy it is to be like that with Easter. And we've just celebrated Easter. But I guess that for most people in our society, the death and resurrection of Jesus are a bit like that. People may say they believe in it, but it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. And even in the church, it is all too easy to give assent to Jesus rising again, but not to see any way in which it affects life here and now. Yes, we can say the creed. We can say that we believe that on the third day he rose again. But when we head out into the new week, it doesn't really make any difference to us. But that is so different from what the Apostle Paul said in that reading this morning. So let's turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 on page 1156. Because there in verse 3, Paul says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. That Christ died, that he was buried, that he was raised, that he appeared." So far from being insignificant, far from being those mystifying odd bits and pieces in the Christian faith, which don't seem to play any significant part, what happened that first Easter is of first importance, the most important thing in the world. Without what happened on that first Easter, Christianity might look impressive in parts, but it would be powerless and hopeless, a complete waste of time. So why does so much rest on that first Easter? Why is it that Jesus' resurrection is the most important thing in the world? After all, there are no other world religions that stake everything on their leader returning from death. Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. And yet here in verse 14, Paul can say that if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is hopeless, is useless, and so is your faith. And of course, when Paul says our preaching is useless, it isn't the comment on his ability as a preacher. It literally means our preaching is empty. We would have nothing to say. Michael Ramsay, who was Archbishop of Canterbury around 60 years ago, said simply, "No resurrection, no Christianity." Why is that the case? Well, the first thing is in verse 17. "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins." No matter what else Christianity offers, one thing stands out as supremely important, and that is the forgiveness of sins. If the gospel cannot deal with sin, then, Paul says, it is pointless. But surely, back in the first part of our reading, there in verse 3, Paul said that Jesus died for our sins. Well, of course, that's gloriously true. We remember that particularly on Good Friday. We remember it each time we have a communion service. But right from Genesis 3, the Bible shows us there is an intimate link between sin and death. When Adam and Eve first sinned, the penalty was death. Romans 3:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. So if Jesus was to defeat sin, he also had to defeat death. If he had not risen, it would have showed that he was not able to conquer sin. we would still be in our sins. We would still be alienated from God. We would still have no hope. But Christ has been raised. And because of that, we can be certain that his death did bring our forgiveness. And that is such good news. So many people suffer from guilt over the past. A guilt that they can't do anything about because you can't undo what you've done. Particularly if someone they've hurt is not around anymore to even be able to apologize to. Now, there does seem to me to be a tragic irony in the fact that in our society, Christian faith is often put down as being guilt-inducing. But then as our society has drifted further and further away from the Christian faith, the guilt's still there, but there's no way of dealing with it, no way of finding forgiveness. And more people suffer from guilt-induced problems than ever before. But here's good news. Here is the first way in which the resurrection of Jesus can make a difference to your life here and now. Because it is the one thing that can set you free from your guilt over the past. The resurrection of Jesus gives us good news for those suffering from guilt. Because forgiveness is assured to all those who trust Jesus. So the first reason that the resurrection is so important is that it's the fact that Christ has been raised that means that our sins can be forgiven and we do not need to walk through life carrying a burden of guilt. Second thing is in verse 18. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If Christ has not been raised, those who've died are lost. It's amazing that still in our culture today, still there's this colossal level of belief in life after death. As I meet bereaved families, it is very rarely that I find people who believe that death was the end for their loved ones. But why? What grounds could anyone have for such a belief? Why would we possibly think there's something beyond this life? Go through the Old Testament. And there is very little about life after death. Our Old Testament reading from Job gave a hint of it, but it's quite obscure. Any hope of resurrection is very shadowy and ambiguous. In pagan religion, it was even worse. There was just the final journey across the Styx to the land of the shades. No wonder that Paul can say later, down in verse 26, that death was the great enemy because there was no hope of anything much beyond it. But now, through the resurrection of Jesus, a glorious new possibility has come. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Death is still an inescapable reality, but now it does not have to be the end. And it's important to see what Paul says here. He doesn't say that because of Jesus, everyone will be made alive. He says that those who are in Christ will be made alive. Because we are all descendants of Adam, we are in Adam. But it is only when we turn to Christ and acknowledge him as our Savior and Lord that we become in Christ and so inherit this wonderful promise. Why should we believe that there's something beyond this life? Is it just blind optimism? No, because Jesus has proved it. In fact, it is the only thing that gives us any reason to believe in life after death, and that's the resurrection of Jesus. As Paul says in verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. Jesus rose again, and someday those who are following him will do the same. So the second real significance of the resurrection is the fact that Christ has been raised means that death is not the end, and we do not need to live our lives in despair. And then thirdly, in verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Jesus' resurrection shows that there is something beyond death, but what will it be like? I guess that for most people, even if they believe in life after death, it's a kind of, it's a consolation prize. This is real life here and now, and then hopefully after we die, there's something that, it won't be as good as this, but it'll be okay. But Paul turns that completely upside down. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're of all people most to be pitied. See, being a Christian isn't just about what you get out of it in this life. There are great things about knowing the risen Jesus today. There is that freedom from guilt I talked about earlier. There's the knowledge that you are never alone. And sometimes God does act wonderfully to heal and restore. But that's only a small part of the story. When Jesus rose from death, he came back again as real flesh and blood. Not as a ghost to show, it came back to show us what lies beyond this life is real, physical and glorious. Heaven is not some place where we will sit on clouds playing harps. It isn't a place for disembodied spirits. The resurrection of Jesus knocks those sort of ideas on the head. Sometimes when I'm taking a funeral, I'll use a quote from the end of C.S. Lewis's Narnia books, where he likens death to, "The term has finished, the holidays have begun." Earlier in 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." And that isn't purely an individualistic thing. Look again at what Paul says. "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." Jesus' resurrection is a kind of down payment on a future where all that is wrong with the world is destroyed. What does the future hold? In this life, continued uncertainty, but beyond this life, an eternity that will just knock the socks off the very best that this life has to offer. And it's that hope that should motivate us to live life now to the full. It's very interesting. If you just look to the end of this chapter, there's this great chapter on the resurrection, and look how Paul finishes it. "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Quite frankly, what would be the point of giving yourself to serving the Lord in this life if this life is all there is? What would be the point of enduring suffering and persecution? What would be the point of going without things others have? What would be the point of spending your time and your money on serving the Lord and his church? What would be the point if at the end of this life there was nothing? Paul's quite honest about that. Down in verse 32 he says, "If the dead are not raised, let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." But Jesus' resurrection makes it all so different. Because he rose, we can know that we will rise, and because we know that, we can give away our lives in his service, knowing that it will not be in vain. It's the fact that Jesus has been raised that actually gives us our greatest motivation to live. So forgiveness of sins and freedom from guilt, a confidence about our future, and a motivation to live now. All of those flow from the resurrection of Jesus. So what about us? For you this morning, is the resurrection like some of the stuff in my dad's garage? Something you believe in, but which seems frankly irrelevant to your life here and now? If that's the case, you'll probably be living your life now just in the same way as your neighbors or your colleagues. Like them, your mind will be on this life, on physical comfort, material security now. Or do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus, not just as an academic fact, but as a life-changing truth? C.S. Lewis again. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "I believe in the resurrection of Jesus in the same way as I believe that the sun rose this morning, not only because I can see it, but because I now see everything else in the light of it." And that's how we should be. And yet, so easily we allow ourselves to be pressed into the world's mold. Are you eager to tell your friends and neighbors about Jesus, or are you afraid that they might cold shoulder you if you do? Are you looking for ways in which your money can resource the work of God's kingdom, or are you taken in by all the adverts on TV that assure you that what you really need to do is to buy this item or that item? When others criticize you, do you leave it with God, or do you fight to defend yourself? See, the resurrection of Jesus is the key to those things which all of us ultimately need. Forgiveness, something beyond this life, and something to build our hopes on, something to live for now. And this morning, all of those things can be yours through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, the resurrection of Jesus isn't just one of the best attested facts in history. It is the most life-changing fact in history. And the challenge that it poses to each of us is that truth changing your life today?